Are you tired of networking feeling like a chore? Imagine transforming it into a powerful tool that fuels your career and business success. Think of it. Joining me today is Rachel Rosen, a networking guru and founder of Connection Catalyst. Rachel shares her secrets for building genuine, lasting connections that will elevate your professional life. Get ready to ditch the icky and embrace the sticky power of networking. Hello, friends. I'm Kendra from KendraLosi.com, and you've tuned in to the Invisible to Invincible podcast, where professionally driven business owners, entrepreneurs, and experts share their journeys from hidden gems into industry leaders. Together, we'll uncover the secrets, the mental shifts, and the business strategies that transformed them into undeniable forces. So you know what to do. Hit that subscribe button and let's dive in. Welcome, Rachel. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be a participant.
Absolutely. I'm really fascinated at your background and how you decided to become the founder of Connection Catalyst, as well as a networking guru. Because networking is something most people don't love to do. Can you talk about how you, let's start at the end. What are you doing now and how did you get to this point?
Yeah, great question. And a networking guru is not something that I take lightly. I'm really proud of that title that I gave myself and all the hard work that I got to get here. And for now, I've been really focusing on a few different avenues. One is a group coaching program to help individuals improve their networking skills. Everybody knows that they need to network, but they don't really know how to go about it. Mm-hmm. So taking a tactical and strategic approach and teaching them the skill set around relationship building and how to make it become a habit, because that's really what networking is about. You need to put those little details into place so that you're doing it every day, and then it becomes less cumbersome. And then mm-hmm. anybody can become a guru with networking. And then I have a couple other things that I do. I'm based in New York City, and so I've been doing small group dinners with executives. I started that back in June, and that's a great way to meet people that are not in your same industry or role. Most people join or go to events with like-minded individuals. But we learn so much from people that are not like us. Mm-hmm. I was an executive and then decided to start this business, which is why I have so many executives in my network and want to keep it on that leadership level. And I facilitate a conversation so that people can start to be a little bit more vulnerable in the conversations and learn about each other. I actually did one last night that was fantastic. And then I love speaking about networking and talking to teams and groups and teaching them the skill set again on networking and how they can do that within their organization, as well as individuals, whether you're looking for your next job or you're looking for a board seat, or you want to start figuring out how you can network that can eventually become business development as well.
Okay. I want to break this down because you said a lot and I'm like, oh, I want to ask about this. I want to ask about this. I want to ask about this, like all in that little segment. So here is my first question. And I don't want to forget it. This is why I'm asking first. It's not necessarily in like a order of anything, but how do you help these executives coming to dinner or at this, you know, in this group networking event, build the trust that they feel safe to be vulnerable and authentic in a space where they don't know anybody?
Yeah, great question. So I do a lot of different things to help with that. The first thing is the pre-work before the dinner. So I introduce everyone via email and all their LinkedIn so they can connect ahead of time so they know who they're going to meet. So that's key mm-hmm. for the first go around. And so they know who might be coming in. And I like to keep it small. It's a maximum of 8 people. I find that when you have one to many, versus one to a lot or one to one, people tend to open up a little bit more because they start to feel that others understand them, or they start to, when someone else is talking, like, oh, that's me too. And they're like, oh, I can start talking because this person shared this. And so they're leaning in a bit more when they're hearing other people's stories. So that's the first piece of it. And then the second piece of it, As I'm facilitating the conversation, everybody introduces themselves. We go around the table. And then the second thing is I give them, ask them to bring up a topic that they need help with, whether it be personal or professional. And as they're talking about that, everyone around the table should be thinking about the three I's. And the three I's are how you could potentially help somebody. The first I is an introduction. Can you introduce them to someone that's going to help them based upon what their ask is? The second I is an invitation. Can you invite them somewhere? Is it another community? Is it out to coffee? The third I is information. Can you provide a resource to them, whether it be a podcast, an article, a book, or just something that really helped you? It could just be a piece of advice that's going to help them out based upon their ask. And so there's so many ways that you as an individual can help participate in that conversation, and you can use that beyond just that dinner. But when people are engaged in what other people are asking for and they start to feel that they've either been there before or maybe they haven't been in that situation, but they're thinking about it, it goes such a long way into allowing that vulnerability to continue to come through.
That's really great, especially for people that are nervous about networking or just not sure. Like when you get to the executive level or as a business owner, like you're usually confident in what you do, but it's not, there's a lot of introverts, right? There's a lot of people who get nervous when it comes to interacting with other people. Or I think that there is this also mindset for a lot of people where as an executive or as a leader, you're supposed to know. And there's this feeling of you're not supposed to ask for help. Especially when you have a more independent type outlook, that being able to create that space for people is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big piece of it. And myself coming from an executive role, when I started to network, I didn't even know where to begin because I never really did that before because I always got every job from networking. I didn't realize it until I was like, okay, I left my last full-time role on my own accord. And I was like, I need a break. I was burnt out, needed a break. And when it came time to look for my next role, I realized my network wasn't very wide and it wasn't very deep because I only knew the people that I worked with and my clients. And that was only so many people. I didn't know anybody outside of that. And that's how I dug into my journey. And that's why I also like having these dinners across different industries, different roles, different genders, generations, still on the leadership level, just so we're talking about topics on that realm. But it really goes such a long way when people are like, oh, somebody is in manufacturing and someone else is in pharmaceuticals and somebody else owns their own business, but look at how much we have in common. Or I'm looking at this problem that the person in pharmaceuticals has and I'm in manufacturing and I'm like, how can I even ever help solve that problem? But you can, because you might have lived it just in a different way. And so your insights are even more valuable versus, say, someone in manufacturing talking to someone else in manufacturing, and they're just doing the same thing over and over again. And you're recycling the ideas instead of bringing new ideas in.
I think that's so interesting. And you make such a good point, because I've been laid off, and I've talked about it before on the podcast. I've been laid off 6 times, and sometimes for company acquisition, sometimes like they close the branch, whatever the reason.
Yeah.
And even though I was at the exec, you know, all like, and this was at every level of my career, from my first job, my first real career job, to executive level, helping run the department, well, running the department, a nationwide level, like it doesn't matter. You're still going to get laid off. And every single time I was like, oh, I need to be better at networking. But I wasn't, because I would get so caught up in life and I didn't see the need for it right then. And that's part of why I focus more emphasis on personal branding as well, because I think it's really important. But I want to back up now and talk a little bit about how you decided to become the networking guru. What was the impetus? What was that pivot point for you to decide to leave your executive role? You mentioned burnout, but what was the point, the reason, and those decisions of why you decided to leave your executive role and actually launch your company, Connection Catalyst?
Yeah, great question. So there was quite a bit of time between the two. So after I left my role, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do next. I just needed a break. So I decided to travel. I went to Sri Lanka and the Maldives for about 3 weeks. I went to Costa Rica for a couple weeks. I dug into what I was calling my learning sabbatical, and I was taking courses. I did some classes on Coursera. I'm a member of Pavilion, which is for go-to-market leaders and B2B SaaS, because that's the industry that I came from.
Oh.
was there, was wrapping up.
Hang on one second. Your audio cut out for a minute after you said pavilion. Do you want to just back up to there?
Yeah. So I was a member of Pavilion and I took a bunch of different courses through there. Pavilion is primarily for go-to-market leaders. So sales, marketing, customer success, operations, and B2B SaaS, because that's the industry that I came from. And so I was wrapping up CCO school when I decided to leave my role. I also took CMO school from a marketing perspective. I did some business, some sales classes. I did a revenue architecture class and trying to figure out where I fit in. Mm-hmm. And then really through a combination of Pavilion and Chief, a member of Chief for Executive Women, that kind of got me started. So I was going to both of their on the bench for Pavilion and the career transition group for Chief. And I kept talking about how I was networking and what I was doing. And I was finding different consulting jobs. And then I realized that I wanted to become, well, what I thought, I wanted to become a chief of staff. I did, I don't know if you're familiar with Laura Garnett's book, Finding Your Zone of Genius. Mm-hmm. And I did that worksheet on what I thought I could do next. And so I wanted to see leadership from a different vantage point, but I wasn't sure what industry I wanted to stay in. So I said, I have to start networking with chiefs of staff to figure this out. And I ended up meeting 40 chiefs of staff between Fortune 500 and nonprofit and everything in between. That was the beginning of this process for me because I wanted to see what do chiefs of staff do in different size companies? Where is my skill set best aligned? And then from there, I started talking to COOs, CEOs, presidents, people that had chiefs of staff and kind of went down that path and then realizing, you know what, that really isn't the right thing for me. And I just kept networking more and more with different people. And through Chief, we would have weekly meetings and someone said, not to me, but in front of the whole group, I think Rachel should do a webinar on networking because we used to have someone come in once a week to present on something in career transitions. And then I was in the room and then they were like, Rachel, is that okay with you? And I was like, sure, I can figure this out. And so that's how it started. So January of last year is when I did my first talk on networking. And then I did that at Chief and then took that to Pavilion and did one there and then brought it to a couple other networks that I did. I ended up doing 13 speaking presentations last year on networking. One was in person, the rest of them are all virtual. And then in the middle of last year is when I decided to actually launch this business and go full in on this process. So it's definitely been a journey, but I know that this is the path that I'm meant to be on.
I can see it. You light up when you start to talk about it.
That's Thank amazing. You.
And I think that I just want to back up for 1 second because I did something similar when I was trying to decide what I wanted to do at one of my iterations. It was when I decided to switch from industry and working for technology companies and doing things like helping Tiffany sell more diamonds to doing stuff that I felt like had a purpose. I switched over to higher ed. But in the meantime, while I was trying to find what that looked for, I started doing informational interviews. And at first it was, you know, a little scary. Like I usually don't have many problems talking to people one-on-one, but actually approaching them for something that I needed was different. And so learning how to ask for that was really good practice. And it's something I'm really glad I did because I learned so much. Because like you just said, I decided after talking to these people, like, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to be. Where's my lane?
Exactly. And that's what I tell everybody to do when they're first starting out. And they don't know who to talk to or what do they want to learn, mm-hmm. especially those that are in transition. Or maybe you're starting your own business is another great way. Who else has started a business? Go and talk to them and find out what their journey looked like. You don't have to know everything. But people will share. They want to tell you what mistakes they made. What did they do well? And for me, a lot of it was getting information from all different people. So I tell people, so for example, say you want to be a CMO at a Fortune 500 company. That's fantastic. Start talking to CMOs in general. How did they get to that role? How did they become a CMO? What industry is that do you want to be in? So maybe it's retail within Fortune 500. Talk to people in retail at Fortune 500 companies. They don't have to be CMOs, but they could be anything that's adjacent to that role, because you're going to start having to work with them so that you can start understanding what do they look for in their cross-functional partner of a CMO. And that's another way that you can think about doing informational interviews as well. It's not always the role that you're looking for, but your cross-functional partner that you might be working for, because they're the ones that are going to be more likely to introduce you into that next role when the person leaves and they're like, oh, I've been spending so much time with Kendra. I've gotten to know her and I want her to be in this role next. And so their referrals that come in through other employees are more likely for you to get that job. And so it's about planting the seed now for what that future will become.
So about a year ago, you made that really big decision to decide to start your business. What was the reason you decided to start your business versus going back into an executive role?
Yeah, so I was really struggling to find a chief of staff role, and I kept getting turned down for everything that I applied to for one of three reasons. One, I don't have an MBA, and I wasn't planning on going back to get one. I don't have FP&A experience, and I'm not a financial guru in any shape or form. And just based upon where the market was at that time, that's what people were looking for. I have tons of other experience I could bring to the table, but it just is never the right fit for that CEO. And I knew I had to do something else. I just didn't know what it was. And so a career coach had mentioned to me, hey, why don't you just create a course about this? Like, you know what you're doing. People are going to trust in you because you've done it. Like, you've met all these people and you've shown that it's possible to get, whether it be consulting jobs or your next job, and people that have come to my webinars and have implemented the strategies that I've given them, they've gotten their next role. They've had more conversations. They've met people that they would have never have met before. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Why not give it a shot? The worst that's going to happen is I'm going to fail. But what is that failure really? It's just an opportunity for learning. And one of my favorite quotes is, I just have it on my desk, but your best teacher is your last mistake. And I really value that. I think it was by Ralph Nader said that, especially as an entrepreneur, because you're going to be making mistakes all the time, but are you learning from them? Are you teaching yourself something new or different? Mm-hmm. I can't tell you it's been easy. It's definitely been a challenge and it will continue to be, but I know deep down that as I keep talking about networking and making it more accessible for people, it will get better for me and for them.
Absolutely. So what's been the most rewarding aspect of building your business and starting it and really helping others with their networking skills?
Yeah. So I think a big thing for me is just people connecting with people. That's like one of my favorite things to see and do. I value networking from quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. And so when I see that a connection that I made with somebody else, and they start making other connections and they start getting business or they start learning something else, you know, that's what really excites me, because they've tried different things. I have a networking tracker that I give people oftentimes in the webinars that I do. And when someone says, oh, I've used that tracker and it's really helped me to organize myself, that's, you know, really exciting for me as well. And just the tools that I'm able to provide people that they can implement.
Yeah. Like I said, you really like light up as you're talking about the work you do and who you're working with. It definitely is on the right path. How, like, as an entrepreneur, and you're the person who started their business most recently out of everyone I've talked to so far, as an entrepreneur and as this founder of your business, what personal growth experiences have you encountered along the way?
Yeah, so many things. I mean, number one has been my communication skills. So I do have a communications coach that I work with. Another is I worked with an executive coach to really just help me from a prioritization standpoint. Because when you're working alone, you have to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And what do you do and how do you do it? That was helpful. I don't use all the strategies that we talked through, but it has been helpful to like think through what the possibilities can be. I still have to feel comfortable with what I'm doing each and every day. But a big piece for me has been how do I calendar my time? It's not necessarily free time, but I do give myself more breaks than I ever did when I was in corporate. And part of that is the recovery from the burnout and saying, I'm not going to push myself and work a quadrillion hours. Yes, entrepreneurs can. And yeah, if I worked a lot more, I probably would be making more money, but I have to do it at the pace that I feel the most comfortable at for me because I don't want to burn out again. So for me, this was a relaunch of myself and saying, how am I going to approach work in a way that I feel the most comfortable, that I'm getting things done, I'm making progress and being okay with that slow incremental progress versus that fast progress. Because I had been in startups for 6 years prior, and in startups, you're going a million miles an hour. And so for the 6 years that I worked in startups, I felt like I was working 16 years. And I have really reduced that down to like a quarter of how I was working before. And personally, I just feel so much better day in and day out versus before it was like the end of the day and I was just crushed. Like I couldn't do anything else but work and sleep and work and sleep. And that's not my life anymore. I'm able to do a lot more things that I enjoy.
I think you said so many important things there. And one of the, I'm just going to start here in a minute. One of the things that you said was that you consciously decided that slow incremental growth is going to be the way to go forward because it's the relaunch of yourself. As somebody who went straight from working nonstop, okay, now I need to, took some time to decide what I want to do and then decided to start my business. I did the opposite, right? Like I listened to all the advice that people said, don't do this, you're going to burn out, and was like, but I have to. I want to do all the things. And so it 100% led to a burnout and a pivot in my business because of that, because I couldn't sustain it. What advice do you have for someone who's like, I love that she's doing this one thing. She's excelling at it. She's doing it really well. But that's not me. There's so many business owners that I talk to who are afraid to niche to one thing, who are afraid to focus in one area, even though that's the area they're amazing in. Do you have any advice for people who fit that, who might be listening?
Yeah, so I honestly, it's taken me a long time to even get here, and it's still not very niche. Like, honestly, this morning I was working with someone else who's helping me with my marketing plan to look at it again because my original marketing plan when I started this business to where I am today is very different. And I think part of it is, and when I tell people I'm doing a whole bunch of different things, it's not to throw spaghetti at the wall, but it's for me to say, where am I finding joy with the thing that I'm doing? Where is there traction? Where is it sticky? Not just with myself, but with clients. And I'm still figuring that out per se, because there's other things that I'm working on that aren't necessarily getting as much traction, or they don't have as much traction in the moment, and there may be more down the road. And where can I make the most revenue for those things as I continue to make this happen? So, what I would say to anyone that's in the similar situation is, try things out, but also check in with yourself. Are you enjoying this work or is it awful? Because I know people who have been entrepreneurs that like start a business and they think they're doing the right thing, and then they realize I'm the antithesis of what I started. Like, why am I doing this now? I don't like anything that I'm doing. Yes, I'm making money, but I don't like this work. So finding that thing out may take time, but allow yourself to check in and say, do I like this? Do I hate this? Is it taking too much time? Is it taking too much energy? Or is it fueling me? And I'm like, this is so exciting. I want to keep doing more and more of this.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to see. And here's what I'm going to say. I was an executive with a big team at several different organizations for a long time. And I didn't have any of the doubts or things that crept in until I started my business. Like, I never thought I would be someone who's like self-help, whatever, like mindset, whatever. Until I started my own business and got 2 years in and got burnt out and was like, wait, what the hell am I doing? What is this craziness? It doesn't have to be this way. And then I started diving into things like the zone of genius, working with a coach and realizing that these strategists and coach, and those are the things that I needed to help me. And I've loved it ever since, right? It makes such a big difference in terms of how you show up, what you're doing, and how you talk about what you do. So what would you say are some of the things that you've really noticed in the changes that you help your clients make, like the impact that you're having on them?
Yeah. So I think a big thing is that realizing that anybody can network, and that what I like to say too is people tell me, oh, I'm an introvert, I can't network. I'm an extrovert, I can't network. We're coming out of COVID. I've never done this before. I'm an ambivert. This bothers me. I'm neurotypical. I'm neurodivergent versus neurotypical. I can't do it. I am a baby boomer versus a Gen X versus a millennial versus a Gen Z. I can't do it. Everybody has a reason why they don't like it. And you can talk to any one of those and they'll tell you, networking is horrible. I hate doing it. Everybody hates it. But when you think about it as, how are you making friends? How are you making friends when you were a kid to how are you making friends now? And I'll tell you, I was a very shy kid. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was a person. I was the oldest child. I was attached to my mom's leg. Everywhere she went, I went. I wanted to be just like my mom. I carried around my pocketbook, my purse, and I would have a phone by my side. My mom was making volunteer calls. I was making volunteer calls with her. My first day of preschool, someone came up to me and her name was Nina. And she came and she said, hi, my name's Nina. Do you want to be my friend? And we're friends in that moment forward. And when you're a couple years old, that's how you made a friend. Mm-hmm. Why can't you do that today as an adult? And that story still resonates because I was never that person. Like Nina came to me. I would have never have gone to Nina and say, hey, do you want to be my friend? But we all have it in us. But as we get older, we get scared and we don't know how to have those conversations anymore. So one tip that I give people, especially when they're in-person networking, when you're going to approach someone, think of them as your best friend that you haven't seen in a long time, or your great aunt that has passed away that you loved and she's walking in the room and you can't wait to tell her all this fun and amazing stuff about you. It's going to put a smile on your face and you're going to be more excited to have that conversation versus in your mind saying, oh, this is so awful. Why am I here today? Do I really have to talk to these people? You got to pump yourself up, get cheery and get excited to be there. You never know who you're going to meet and what's that connection is going to bring forward after that moment in time. And following up after that is even more important. And I'll give you one more tip that I think is super helpful in person is anybody that has a phone with them, which generally everyone does, whether it's an Android or an Apple phone or an iPhone, pull out your notes on your phone, whatever note you use, title that note, the name of the event and the date, and each person you meet, write down their name and type a couple notes about them. Now, when you're having the conversation with them, you could say, hey, Kendra, that was a great point. I'm just going to jot this down so I don't forget. Or as soon as you step away from that conversation, you write that person's name down and the note. Then you know to go back to them later and you have follow-up points versus you're just interacting, and you never know how to follow up post that event.
Absolutely. Those are really good points. I was just thinking back to like some of the pre-pandemic networking events I would go to when I was trying to like launch my business and start. And there was nothing more nerve-wracking than going to an event by yourself where you didn't know who was going to be there and walking in and everyone's in clusters. Like, hi, here's who I am. And I got better at it, but I remember like I would fake phone calls on my phone to try and like not be that person standing by themselves or like loitering behind people who clearly know each other. What advice do you have for someone that's like, oh my God, how do I do that?
Yeah. I have a few great tips.
Yeah, please. Please
a share. Few great tips. So the first tip that I tell people all the time is be the first to arrive, not the last. Mm. Why do you want to be the first? Because everyone's going to come and talk to you. Mm. When you're the last, it's exactly what you just said. Everybody's already talking to each other. It makes it so much harder to get into the conversation. The other thing to think about This is for everyone out there, so listen in,
Yep.
because when you are talking at an event, want to think about how we're standing. And this is the croissant versus the bagel theory.
Yep.
We don't want to stand in bagels. We want to stand in the shape of a croissant. We want people to be open to be able to add into that conversation. So the way that your body language is, are you tilting forward? Are you standoffish? How are you standing? And how can other people join that conversation potentially? Now, sometimes that's hard because a group starts to form. I totally get it. But when you can, especially when it's two people, be tilted so that you are not standing like side by side, but you have room. Sorry, it's hard to get in front of the
Oh,
camera.
yeah.
Room
Here,
to
let me
have
help
more
you out
people to
here
have
for a second.
conversation.
Okay, show it again.
Instead of standing side by side like this, you're kind of tilted that way out so that people can join the conversation. And so it makes it easier for people to feel like they can jump in. And then when you jump in, instead of saying, "Hey, who are you?" or saying, asking that question, like, "What do you do? What brought you here today? What excites you about being here today?" Start there. Do you know anybody here? They say, "No, I don't know anybody." And you don't know anybody. Let's be buddies today. Especially if it's an all-day thing and you just met somebody. Now the two of you can start talking to new people. And then the last thing that I'll say, I have lots of tips on this, but the last thing I'll say, which I think is super important. So I'm a New Yorker, and I don't know if you're familiar with what the New York uniform is. Have you heard of that before? It's all black.
Oh, okay.
Everyone goes all, they're in all black. Unless you're in finance, then it's khakis, a button-down blue shirt, and a Patagonia vest. So it's one or the other. And you want to stand out. Your glasses right now are awesome. So if we were at an event, I'd say, "Hey, Kendra, I love your glasses." And that's a great way to start a conversation with somebody versus wearing something that is a solid color. So can you wear something that's a pattern? Men can do that too. If you're wearing a sport coat, do you have a pocket square in there? Or if you are wearing a tie, can it be a really cool tie? No one's going to see your socks, no one's going to see your belt, but what is something that you can do that's going to stand out? Women have it a little bit easier. You can wear really fun pants or a really cool shirt or a scarf. Men can also change their glasses out. Like, I have really fun glasses that sometimes I'll wear in an event that are instead of my contacts if I feel like it, just so that it becomes a conversation point. Or maybe it's jewelry, like a statement necklace, and you're wearing a block, but you have a statement necklace on. There's lots of different ways that you're gonna stand out, and they'll be like, "Oh, I remember this person because they were wearing X." And it's all about making that memory.
That is fantastic advice. I totally agree with you, and I wish I knew of the analogy of the bagel versus the croissant before. One of the things that I did after I started my business is I ended up volunteering for several organizations, and one of them was for Social Media Marketing World, and they eventually hired me on to help, and my whole job was as a connections, like in charge of the connections group to help people who were going to the event connect with other people. So if someone was sitting by themselves, like we would go and talk to them and try and find like, who do you want to talk to? Who do you want to be? Who do you like, who are you? What brings you here? And so it was such an interesting role, and the entire role was about fearlessness, right? Like you're my job is to talk to strangers. And I loved every single second of it because I
It's
was like
amazing.
put in charge of that, right? Like you had a shirt on, you had your uniform. People were like, some people would hide, but the rest are like, I'm here to help you connect. Because ultimately, people go to events because of the people. It might sound like it's because of the education you're going to learn, but it's because of the people. And I think that with all of the webinars and things that we do online, a lot of them lose that because there is no, you're just learning, which is, we need that too, but you're missing that extra connection with somebody.
Yeah, and I think with webinars today, people can make that extra connection and go that extra mile that sometimes they forget about. For example, on LinkedIn Live, if you go to a LinkedIn Live event, you can see every attendee and you don't have to be connected to them to message them. So find the people on that list that you want to connect with. If you're on a Zoom and you're in chats and people are dropping in their LinkedIn, save the chat and go back and send a message to them and ask them, "What did you enjoy about this talk with X person today?" Or, "I learned this. What was exciting about it for you?" Some people respond, some people won't. But there are so many people that are looking at ways to connect. Why not be the one that starts it?
And why not do it in a real way and not one of the people I've been having a side conversation the last few days with friends who are so frustrated on LinkedIn about people like scraping emails and then sending or sending the like spam emails. Dear first name. Dear exactly. Mr. Losi. I get that a lot. Like, see, you're a business owner. Like, dear asshole. Just because I'm a business owner doesn't mean I'm male, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I try to keep those in my head, but sometimes they go. But there's like the tips you're giving are so much more valuable than trying to put up a generic connection email, trying to put up that generic connection point, because those are only going to get you so far and mostly in the delete button, you know, in the delete
area. Yeah. And I really tell people, try to connect through your warm network. Where do you have an affinity to already that you can connect with? I'm a huge proponent for LinkedIn, but that's not always the best way to get solid connections.
I agree.
That's one way, but who do you know? Through your alumni groups, through other organizations that you're a part of, your neighbors, your friends, especially if you're a business owner. Do your neighbors know what you do? Do your friends know what you do? Probably not. Especially if you're just starting out, you need to really tell them, because they're the ones that are going to be most excited about spreading the word about you and learning what you do and trying to get you business, because they love you. You're the ones, you're in their world. They've known you for, you know, most of them probably your whole life. So they're going to be your biggest proponents.
They already know, like, and trust you. You don't have to put that extra work in front. They've probably seen you at your best and your worst. They're still
exactly,
there.
Exactly.
Rachel, I love this so much. You've already given so many great tips and advice throughout. So what I want to ask you, just a side question. You know, you've talked about networking and how much you love connecting people, and how, like, it's very clear how excited you are about that. What are some of the personal aspirations and goals that you are pursuing outside of your business?
Yeah, outside of my business, one of the things that I started is a group for Jewish women and Jewish allies to find ways to combat anti-Semitism, which I started at the end of December. It's a really huge thing to try to work on. I don't have all the answers, nor does anybody in that group. But the little things that we can do to try to work on that, that is a big thing in my life right now that I am working towards. I know a lot of people that have had anti-Semitic things happen to them, and being in New York, there's a lot happening right now, and really trying to get people to understand each other. And that kind of goes around again with my connections, right? Like, there's always something to learn about someone. There's always an opportunity for a conversation and to understand where people are coming from. And I think that's a really big way to start removing the hate in so many different forms.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Wow. I love that so much. Yeah, no, it's so needed, sadly, and so impactful. Like, it can have such a big impact.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Before we go, you want to tell the people how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to connect with me is via LinkedIn, Rachel Rosen. I think I'm one of very few, R-O-Z-E-N, like frozen without the F. And my website is connectioncatalyst.me. There's information if you are in New York and you are an executive and you are a leader, you want to join the dinner list, you can sign up there. And then my group coaching program, you can join the wait list there if it's something that you really want to spend time in to make networking a habit. And there's also a form on there for anyone that's looking for speakers to come to talk about networking to any of their groups within their organizations, and workshops that I can do for you and your teams as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here today, Rachel. I really appreciate it and all of the valuable information that you've shared with us today. So
thanks, Kendra. I really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. And to everyone else who's tuned in, thank you for joining us today. And remember, at KendraLosi.com, we believe that that a strong mindset is the foundation for both business and personal success. And with individualized and group programs, we help you find the clarity, confidence, and become the thriving business owner you've always aspired to be. Because it is never too late to make your business and career work for you and not the other way around. So thank you for being here. Till next time.
Thank you.